Hello, hello, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and today I want to talk about, will the tower industry police itself? Let me tell you something. If you don't remember, I wrote a blog about unionizing tower climbers and how, I was just throwing the option out there that maybe tower climbers should have their own union. With that said, there's a lot of tower climbers that are already in IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And there's a lot of tower climbers that are in, say, the Iron Workers Union, although I don't know as many, and the Wireless Communication Workers of America. Wireless Communications of America. Anyways, WCA. I think there's a lot of people in that union, but most of the climbers that I am aware of are in the IBEW because they accept climbing. Most of those climbers do, you know, wiring such as communications wiring or electrical wiring as well. And they also do tower climbing. It's an added certification. And that's one of the reasons I posed a question, because people that are in those unions tend to be very well trained, very professional. And the union recognizes the climbers, their certifications, and they also promote the training that they get, CPR training, first aid training. They have a lot of extra training that a lot of tower companies just don't provide for their people. I'm not saying all don't, but several do. You know, there's a lot of owners out there that really care, that go to the extra mile to do the first aid training, the CPR training, and, you know, any Red Cross training that they can possibly get. But the union automatically includes that. So with all that said, one of the reasons I put this out there is because a common thing I got back is that the industry should police itself. And by the way, most of the people that are against unions use the auto industry as a standard. They really didn't look at anything else. And they didn't think that any climbers were already unionized. Several are, I'm telling you, from experience. And I can probably bring those people forward if I have to. So it's not like there's no tower climbers in a union. What I'm proposing is maybe tower climbers should have their own union, or maybe there'd be a branch of the union that would just handle tower climbers, so they wouldn't have to be electricians or communication wiring people or communication workers or iron workers, because there's a lot of intricacies in the union. And I see a lot of support for this, especially from family members that have injured climbers on them. For all you people out there that just point at it and say, well, they should police themselves, obviously, you're very healthy, and you probably don't have a job where you could fall 100 feet and kill yourself. So, with that said, the main response from the people I got who were against unions, again, auto industry is the standard. They come in and they tell us that the industry should police itself. And you know what? I agree. It should. However, is that happening? I mean, shouldn't we be doing that now? Shouldn't that be part of our social responsibility with the industry? Apparently not, because we had 12 deaths this year, and who knows how many near misses or injuries. We just don't know. So isn't that what the industry is doing now? Isn't it policing itself? Well, apparently not. OSHA is policing the industry. OSHA. By the way, for those of you that don't know, OSHA is part of the Department of Labor, and OSHA is doing all that they can to police the industry. There's a lot of people frustrated because they don't think OSHA is doing enough. Let me tell you something. These people at OSHA are overworked. I'm glad the FCC stepped in. I'm a big fan of the FCC because they're trying to help OSHA out. The FCC does a lot for safety too. You guys don't know it because, for one, they're behind the scenes. Two, I talk to a lot of these people, and they aren't allowed to promote anything, because if the FCC comes out and says, we're for safety, then the carriers get up in arms and they say, well, you're not promoting a healthy environment for growth for wireless carriers because you're going to put all these restrictions on us. You know, it's a delicate line. And by the way, that's my opinion. Okay. Just to be clear, it's my opinion, because to be honest with you, the FCC really won't let me repeat a lot of what they tell me, in all honesty. But that's my opinion. That's what I've heard. That's word in the street, so to speak. So OSHA's trying to police the industry. They really are. I would think the carriers spend all this money in the industry. I would think they would be the ones policing the industry. And I think they're going to begin to do more and more. But I really think a lot of the responsibility falls with them. Why? Because most of the money comes from them. You understand what I'm saying? All you people that use a cell phone out there understand that you pay this carrier, God knows what, $100 to $400 or $500 a month. They make a lot of money. I know they're worried about margin, but they made billions last year. I mean, net profit was in the billions, okay? They're public companies, people. AT&T Wireless, Verizon Wireless, Sprint, and T-Mobile. Profits are out there. Do a search. So the industry should police itself, right? Well, apparently it's up to the tower climbers to police themselves, because anytime anything happens, that's who it goes to. Goes to that guy on the front line, you know, just like the soldiers. I hate to make this comparison, but it's just the way I see it. So the soldiers are on the front line. When a soldier gets shot, they say, oh, well, he screwed up. Now he's dead. They sure say that with the climbers. Think about it. So anyway, I will give the FCC and the Department of Labor a lot of credit. They created Tire App, which, again, is a voluntary program that defines the apprenticeship program. And I am very happy with it, because they're doing something. You know, they're really making an effort to make sure that something is being done, and they're trying to set standards. And trust me, I appreciate that. They're doing what they can to make sure that people out there have a program to follow. Now, it's up to the people in the field to follow the program. And maybe that's something the carriers need to enforce. So maybe they need to actually look at the contractors out there and say, hey, are they following the TIRAP protocol? Now, it's early. A lot of these contractors, even though they may have something in place, it may not be exactly what falls in the steps of TIRAP. Now, I do know, I just saw that video today where, was it Atlantic Tower Company, Atlantic Tower Services? They actually had the 100% tie-off commitment, where they had people fill out the form on Nate, and they were going to make sure that they follow that. But I got to tell you, that's great. I really do appreciate it. It's a good gesture, 100% tie-off all the time. But what we need is to follow up with everyone's certifications and experience. And also, I know a lot of tower companies out there that do a monthly practicing of rescue. That is very important. We have to find a way to document that. We have to have, I think what we need is a climbing journal. And so we know how much airtime these people have. We know how much drive time they have. I would include drive time, because these guys get exhausted. I would record the date, the times, the hours that they drive, the hours that they climb. And it just goes on and on. I'm a big fan of the journal. I'll probably create something like that and put it out there if you guys don't already have it. So anyway, TIRAP's a great idea. I mean, I want to make a comparison here real quick. You guys probably won't like it, but hey. So TIRAP is a voluntary program, right? It's not a law. It's not a requirement. And I want to just make another example out there, like the seatbelt law. I mean, everyone wore seatbelts before they passed the law, right? Oh, no, that's right. They had to pass a law to make people wear seatbelts. How hard is it to wear a seatbelt? Is it hard? Put it around your lap and click it in. Oh, it takes so much time and effort, and it's so much money out of the pocket of the driver, isn't it? I mean, your seatbelt's laying there, and they can't click it. Listen to me. People wouldn't wear seatbelts until it was a law, until police would pull them over and give them a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. I'm not saying everybody. A lot of people wore seatbelts. A lot of people didn't until it became a law. See where I'm going with this? A lot of this safety and apprenticeship and all this, I hate to say it, but you're going to have to make it a law, because nobody's going to enforce. I shouldn't say that. A lot of people do enforce it, and I really admire those companies that do. A lot of companies have great leadership from the top down. They not only create safety policies, procedures, but they live by them. They go out, they inspect their crews. They make sure that they have safety. I talk to a lot of these guys. I have deep respect for them. With that said, There's a lot of crews out there that just could give a rat's ass if their people live or die. They're in it for the money. They don't want to spend the extra money on savings, on safety or training. They don't. It's just the way it is. They'd rather go back and retrofit the paperwork. And I'm not saying anybody wants anybody to die, but the reality is they don't want to spend the money to prevent it in the first case. You got to look at it as a holistic picture. You know, you got to really want to look at it end-to-end, end-to-end safety. I bring it up again and again, end-to-end safety. And I look at it broader than just the tower crews. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I was talking to someone about, this isn't in the blog, but I was talking to someone about water tank safety. And they brought up to me about how most water tanks are not man-rated for someone to work off the top or the side of them. They're rated for someone to go up the middle or work inside or even maybe around a very specific area in the top. They start hanging antennas on these and they don't have them safety rated properly. So you know what happens? People that work on them, they have to have a ton of safety gear and it costs a lot of money to work on it. And it's one thing most people don't want to pay for. They think because it's a water tank, it's going to be cheaper. It's not. You got to rappel down the side. You have your safety gear, and safety gear fails. That's why I posted about the Petzl recall, because somebody got caught when the Petzl didn't work, the Petzl ID. There's a GRI. Anyway, I'm getting off point. But my point is, how many people have to die before there's more intervention? Apparently, more than 12 a year, because that's what we had this year. We had 12 deaths this year. How many near misses? How many people got hurt? Listen, I honestly, again, I'm going to say it again. I honestly don't think anyone wants anyone to die or get hurt. We really want everyone to be safe. I know equipment fails, accident happens. That'll continue to happen, okay? But I'd like to think that we're doing everything we can to be safe. However, I still hear about the horror stories of the industry where companies will initially get everyone trained to get the contracts from the carriers, the turf vendors, and so on. Then the minute they have them, they don't train anybody. So you got to constantly require that they have everyone on site give you the documentation that they've been trained properly. The other thing I would do, I think another requirement we should have is that climbing journal to give everyone's experience and also to give their training. And what I mean is in-house training. Do you practice rescue every month? Do you practice maybe pulling somebody down? Do you make sure you have all the safety gear? Do you have a log of what safety gear you have? So I don't think people should save money by just doing on-the-job training and skip the formal training. I don't. But this is the way a lot of companies are going. They want to save money by doing the minimal amount to get by. They don't want to do first aid. They don't want to do CPR. They don't want to do ongoing rescue training. They just want to do the bare essentials to get approvals to just hire whoever they need to make more money. This is where they have to save. This is where they should have in-house training, so they can tailor the safety program to their people. However, this oftentimes gets corrupt too. So many times they have this in-house training and they start to cut it back and cut it back. And I got to tell you, a lot of in-house trainers are awesome. They go above and beyond what you get at, say, a Comtrain or a Safety One or anything like that, because they know that they can teach their people exactly what their people need in the field. And they do. They go the extra mile. On the other hand, you have a lot of companies that just don't care. They just don't care. They just want to save a buck. They just want to make sure they have their certification and get them out there. And again, that's why TIRAP came around. That's why it was set up. So you go beyond the standards for training and you have an apprenticeship program in place. That on-the-job training becomes an apprenticeship program, so they can prepare the new climbers for the career ahead of them the best way that they know how from the most experienced people that they have. Costs time and money. Two things that a lot of climbing companies have a hard time getting. They have a hard time getting time because they hadn't need their people in the field to make money, and they have a hard time getting money because a lot of times they just don't get paid for some of the jobs. And I'm going to use MasTec as an example. Here they trained people, they set up the program, they certified people, they had everything set up, lined up. AT&T pulls a plug, what happens? You know, do you blame MasTec or do you blame AT&T? Personally, I look at AT&T. They pulled the plug. AT&T didn't care. What'd they have to lose? Nothing. They don't care. They're looking, and I get it. They're looking out for number one. AT&T is looking out for AT&T. Hey, I think at the time they're talking about buying T-Mobile? Yeah, they're talking about buying T-Mobile. Hey, we want to buy T-Mobile. I don't really care. We're going to change our plans. We got shareholders to think about. Could give a rat's ass about all those climbers you laid off. And you know what? They'll deny that. But really, that's what the executives were thinking. They're thinking about number one, and I get it. That's what you got to do. You got to think about number one sometimes. Was it fair to all the climbers that got laid off? No. No, but that's business. It sucks. That's the way it is. So anyway, it's something to think about. The carriers are spending over $44 billion on this new AWS-3 auction to buy spectrum. There is going to be a lot of work in the next 3 to 6 years. Going to be a lot of engineering work. The engineering work's been automated, a lot of it. A lot of them can do it remote. You'd be surprised how one engineer can do so much more work than he used to, all because of the way the network's set up. However, you still need the hands and feet on the ground and in the air to do the work. That hasn't changed, has it? I mean, have they figured out a way to get a drone to go out there and hang an RRH to lift that 60 or 80 or 100-pound RRH? Did they? Not that I'm aware of. So you got all this work. Safety is a big part of this work. It ain't cheap. You got training and gear. Cost money. If you don't get paid, you have to cut back. So who's monitoring the payments to the contractors? It doesn't appear to be the end customer at this time. I'll tell you that. That's why I say they should build in the audits. So is the industry policing itself? In some cases, yes. There are business owners that run the companies like they really care. And they do care. They train and they support their workers. They fire customers that don't care about safety. They fire the customers. They don't put the schedule ahead of a life. You know, that's who they fire. The people that put the schedule ahead of people's lives. They select who they wish to work with and who they wish to work for. They take the time to show that the business of safety and training is a culture, not an annoying practice to follow because the customer told you to. Trust me, these guys that run these crews, that care about their people, that go out and make sure that what's happening on paper, what's happening in the field is what they wrote on paper. These are the guys that care. You know, I know many climbers and foremen and project managers that really care. They know that life is valuable. I'm also hearing about more and more that don't care. I hear a lot of it third hand because who's going to brag about not caring? They're going to brag about the bottom line and suck as much money out of their company as possible. But let me tell you something. If you don't have happy workers and safe workers, there won't be much of a company left when something happens. I mean, everyone looks at an accident and sees how to prevent it, but who in the industry is going to make sure it's policing itself? It should be every climber out there who has a foreman or a PM that asks you to put the job ahead of your life. Every climber is going to have to say no. Sucks, but they are. So they're going to have to try to prevent this from happening in the first place. The FCC is assisting. They help the Department of Labor with TIRAP. The problem with relying on the government entities is that they are overwhelmed and understaffed. They just are. I know it looks like they made $44 billion, but you know the feds are going to suck that up. They're going to give it to FirstNet, which I'm all for, by the way, and they're going to take the rest of the money and they're going to put it towards a debt, which, you know, what do you do here in the U.S.? We're so far in debt. So what I would like to do, what I am asking Verizon Wireless, AT&T Wireless, Sprint, and T-Mobile is to put safety and site audits into their budgets for the upcoming growth. They really not only need to be following the contractors and the turf vendors by just not only be following them to inspect the work they do after the fact, but I think they need to be dropping in while the work is being done. I think they need to talk with the tower crews while they're doing the work. You know, I think they need to get feedback from the people that do the installations to know more about the vendors that they're to know more about the contractors they're working for, the subs, hiring the subs. The contractor, the tower climbers need to have the say in about the people they're working for. And I think it needs to be ongoing. They can't just drop in that day and ask a bunch of questions. What they need to do is maybe follow up and get feedback directly from the climbers. Hey, I know it's a process. I know it's a lot of work. But they need to follow up and see that these crews are getting paid. I think that's why AT&T wanted to deploy with someone like MasTec. and this is my opinion. I don't really know this for sure, but you know, maybe AT&T wanted to see the industry improve, and they thought, well, if we deal with these guys are doing the installation, they're going to hire people. Of course, then AT&T pulls the plug. It really backfired, didn't it? So I know Verizon Wireless, they really want to make sure deployments are safe. They want to make sure that their contractors get paid. I know they do. They really seem to be going the extra mile to make sure that all this is going on. I know when it comes to maintenance and repair, they really care about the workers. So, just something to think about. And another thing, by the way, do you know why people don't stay in wireless? I mean, I talk to a lot of people that say, I used to tower climb, I used to be a contractor. And you know what, in all honesty, you know, I tried to start my own business. And I'll tell you why I worked for somebody else is because it was hard to get paid. The business practices were horrible. I mean, it's so hard to stay involved in this business. Especially if you're an independent contractor, especially if you're a tower climber. I know tons of guys. You want to get paid. Granted, it's feast or famine. You got to constantly be looking for work. And that's what a lot of these owners do. They're constantly out hitting the streets looking for work. You know why they do that? Because they want to keep their people working all the time. They don't want to hire people and lay them off if at all possible. They want to keep people busy. They want to keep people safe. But you know what? Customers don't care. Customers point the finger. Not our problem. They point the finger. They don't want to deal with it. But that's why a lot of people get out of the businesses. They have horrible schedules. It's low pay. There's a lot of poor business practices. If you get hurt in the job, chances are you won't get paid because you didn't complete the job. I know someone, again, that's happened to. They got hurt in the job, and it was a small crew. They didn't have anyone to back them up. Did they get paid? No. Not going to get paid. And finish your work. Meanwhile, they're hurt and they're out of work. Who's there for them? Someone like the Hubble Foundation. That's who's there for them. Friends and family. That's who's there for them. You know who isn't? You know who else is there? The lawyers. Are they there for them? No. They're usually looking out for the companies that are involved, or they're looking out for somebody else. They very rarely are looking out for the climber unless the climber hired them to look out for them. Hey, I'm sorry, but that's just the way the business is. A lot of people don't like to see that or admit it or know that it's out there. Everyone thinks it's hunky-dory and everything's going fine, especially people that aren't really involved in the business daily. I'll tell you what, I was involved in the business daily. And even now, I'm pretty involved in the business. I see what's going on, and I hear a lot of feedback from you. So keep giving me feedback because that's what I need. I need to know what's going on. Anyway. I just want you guys to be smart, be safe, and pay attention. You should have a plan in place, even though you may need to improvise. After all, you need to have a guide to work with for the job and for safety. Oh, and by the way, support Hubble Foundation, will you? And don't forget, I have products for sale. I have a scope of work tutorial, which I think would do everybody good. And the other thing I want you to do is get on OSHA's Communication Tower website and see if they updated the fatalities, because at the time I recorded this, they didn't update it yet. And one more thing, Wireless Estimator Blue Book. Big fan of that Blue Book. If you're looking for contractors in a specific area, that's a good place to start. All right? Be smart, be safe, pay attention. Take care.